I'm Greg Johnson. Welcome to Countercurrents Radio. We are back with our weekly live stream. Last week we were gone due to technical difficulties, but we try to keep it weekly. My guest today is Jim Goad. Jim, welcome to the show.
Hello, hello, hello.
And we are also joined by Thomas Steuben.
Thomas. Hi, everyone.
So, guys, we are going to talk today about the Tucker Carlson firing. Is it a firing? I've been hearing conflicting stories that he's not fired. He's still under contract. They want to just keep him off the air. So there's a lot of issues swirling around this. Jim has written a fantastic article, which came out on Thursday. And I've been following the story. We've all been following the story. Monday, when the news went wild, I heard from like 11 people in 10 minutes all saying, Tucker's out at Fox, Tucker's out at Fox. And apparently Tucker had only heard it a few minutes before us. So this came as a big surprise. Then later in the week, we started hearing that a number of people had been banned from Twitter. I got banned late last year. Kevin McDonald has been banned, Varg Vikernes, James Edwards, Tom Sunich. Edwards, Sunich, and McDonald all were connected with the American Freedom Party. Thomas, you were mentioning today that there were some other people banned who were connected with AFP. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. One of the most prominent ones was Kevin McDonald, who we all know wrote Culture Critique. So, you know, I would think they might have disbanded him because he's Kevin McDonald. He's a premier rightist. He's an intellectual genius, but the fact that this was in conjunction with these other bannings seems to point that this was about them trying to basically nip AFP in the bud before it could take off. They were worried about any type of participation from our guys. And they also went against the host of the American, the political cesspool, who I've actually been on his show once, and he's a very fine person, very outstanding, and he's also connected to AFP. So it just seemed like a coup against the AFP to basically, frankly, even though I don't think they would win the election, you know, if they got big, they could maybe influence it or maybe run a congressional candidate. So in our, quote, democracy, we can't actually participate, apparently.
And that is interesting because Tom Sunich is also part of the AFP board. So it is very peculiar that that particular party might be targeted for deplatforming. I would like to know if other people have been deplatformed. Well, our friend Pox Populi was deplatformed this past week. So there are other people besides AFP people, but definitely there has been a new wave of censorship. And I really think that Elon Musk's new free speech Twitter is basically, as I put it in my recent piece, it's just going to be a kind of kosher deli. You can choose anything you want, as long as that's palatable to the Jewish population. And that means that people like Kevin McDonald, they have no place at Twitter. I have no place at Twitter because I was talking about the importance of what Kanye West was doing. And that was the particular tweet that got me banned. So I think that that is the general direction. And the common thing that the Tucker defenestration and this wave of censorship at Twitter has is, of course, the Anti-Defamation League. The ADL took the lead in bullying Musk when he announced that he wanted to have free speech on Twitter. And at least 2 years ago, the ADL started calling for Tucker Carlson's firing because he challenged them to defend their double standard on multiculturalism in America versus multiculturalism and open borders in Israel. And that was that earned him real enmity. So it looks like the Jewish censorship noose is tightening some more. And that's really a bad thing. Jim, you've been following this very, very closely. Can you give us a summary of your thoughts so far and anything you've learned since your Thursday article?
I don't know. In my article, I presented one theory after the next. One is that he was the fall guy for their Dominion voting lawsuit, even though he was the only one at the network who was saying that he didn't believe Sidney Powell had any evidence that the voting machines were hacking the election. The text did reveal that he was talking smack about the Fox executives and that they're pushing a narrative upon the good people who believe in Trump and fooling them. And it's my sense that maybe, like, because he was not a company guy, he was the fall guy for that. And they were pissed off that he cost them. Well, he didn't cost, they cost, they couldn't blame themselves. So they put their sins on him and sent him out to the desert to die for it. Another thing was this lawsuit by Abby Grossberg, very uncomely woman. I read, because I'm a masochist and I suffer for all of you, I read the 79-page lawsuit. And what's startling about it was just nothing but woke newspeak about a toxic, sexist work environment, and they didn't learn about Me Too and enduring a virulent, like, climate of anti-Semitism. The only thing they asked one of the employees who, I think it was Abby Grossberg, who had a tattoo. Well, isn't it illegal or forbidden for Jews to have tattoos? Which it is. There's a verse in Leviticus about that. And then there was some guy, Yaron something. He was some Israeli or Jewish guy. He would go to the Jewish bakery to get bread. And someone said, well, he went to see his people. That was it. That was the stifling climate of anti-Semitism. Other theories, I mean, he just did not toe the corporate line about Trump or about the war. He questioned the war in Ukraine, corporatocracy. He addressed a lot of things that a Fox News conservative Republican guy's not supposed to. He seems like one of the few guys. Glenn Greenwald is another one where you just can't pigeonhole them. And they stick to what I was taught was real journalism way back 40 or so years ago in journalism school. And both of them have my respect for that. I don't really care so much about ideology as I do facts, which gets me scorned from ideologues, but hey, that's the nature of the biz.
So the Abby Grossberg suit is interesting, but there's absolutely no evidence that she ever had any interaction with Tucker Carlson. Is that correct?
Right. I think she was in New York. I think he films in Miami or DC. He does not film in New York. So I don't think there's any evidence that they ever met.
Right. And really, the very idea that this woman suffered from anti-Semitism, well, it seems to me incredibly likely that she got her job pro-Jewish discrimination in Fox. But of course, there would be no...
I think she only lasted a couple, and it was nothing like she was just traumatized. She walked into the office the first day, alleged that there was a picture of Nancy Pelosi in a bikini. And, like, I guess the intimation was that Nancy Pelosi doesn't look good in a bikini. That and the Jewish bread comment. She was so utterly waylaid by this. Like, within a couple months, on the advice of her therapist, who probably was Jewish too, she just took a leave of absence. And then, like, fired and started, you know, getting lawsuits together and everything. And I would get rid of 95% of civil law, because these people inhabit a world where they break a fingernail and they're crippled for 10 years. Like, I'd like to go back to a climate where people are tough and they can, I mean, if you can prove that what someone said was wrong, was factually wrong, you know, calling someone a pedophile or whatever, and you can prove there are financial damages, sure, let that 5% of civil law remain. But, like, emotional distress and all, I'd be a billionaire if I could sue for emotional distress. But I don't, because I'm not a baby.
Right. Right. She just sounds like perhaps
Yenta,
a delicate flower to last very long in this world.
Right.
So the Rupert Murdoch stuff is really interesting. I loved your video, by the way, Jim, where you show this repulsive old man. It was a real cut. If I ever looked that way in a bathing suit, I never would allow myself to be photographed. But I guess if you're a billionaire.
Well, yeah, that was another angle that was discussed, because he was 92 years old and he had a 2-week-old engagement to some woman, Ann Leslie Smith. And apparently she was awestruck by Tucker Carlson. She saw him as a messenger of God. Mm-hmm. And there were just rumors and intimations that he was jealous by this and he doesn't like the spiritual stuff. And that's another reason that he didn't like Carlson.
Right.
I don't know. But there were conflicting stories too. There was one story that came out earlier that was Murdoch's son Lachlan and something something Scott, who's this blonde female token gender equity hire, female CEO of Fox, that they were the ones who fired him and not Rupert Murdoch. Then there were other reports. So, I mean, you have to wait a couple of weeks before the dust settles to figure out
right.
what happened. No one's talking. And as far as I've seen no evidence he's actually been fired, but what I have heard is there's a non-compete clause in his contract and non-compete, and he might not be able to do something for a while if that's the case.
Thomas, can you comment on that?
Yes. Yeah, so the thing about non-competition contracts, they vary from state to state, but generally they have to be reasonable in scope and duration. For example, a plumbing contract, non-compete clause in a contract would say like, okay, you can't be a plumber in this town and compete against your former employer for maybe a reasonable amount of time is usually said to be a year. For a plumber, it might be less, but it can't be like, say, the entire state of California or Nevada, because someone who's like maybe 6 hours away, they're not competing against you as a plumber. They can't be used to punish you. So the thing here is this, if this contract was signed in California, which I'm most familiar with California law hates non-compete clauses. And the thing is that generally the courts will not, if they overextend the employer, the courts won't blue line it and basically rewrite the contract for the parties to make it legal. They say like, well, it falls because you were stupid, you overextended and you abused your power. California courts generally stick up the weaker party. Here, I'm not sure how that would play out because the courts are generally liberal and they hate people like Tucker Carlson. And Tucker isn't a baby. He's not like a general employee. He's pretty rich and powerful. But I would have to see the contract. I need to like review case law, but can't be unreasonable. I would hope that he is free to go back on the air by when we get closer to the election. But even if he can't do that, maybe he should just, like a cat, fall on his legs and run for office, like run for president, because Ron DeSantis has all sorts of issues where he's going to Israel to virtue signal and pass anti-free speech law, and is also claiming that he somehow redirected a tornado to save Florida with his prayers to the Jewish wall of La La Land. And then Trump, of course, he's the best guy we got, but he's also in a walking disaster, so I would like to see Tucker throw it on everybody's face and run for office and just make him regret the stupid contract and regret how they treated him.
Yeah, Jim, what are your thoughts on this? Do you think Tucker might run for office?
I really doubt it. And at this point, I mean, I know there's an election coming up, in 21 months? I'm not sure, and I don't care. I'm amazed anyone really thinks it matters who's president at this point. I think the last 20, 30, 40 years proves it really doesn't matter. Presidents are basically the guy who says, welcome to Costco. Policy set by financiers almost entirely. And it's a uniparty. No, that's not a popular opinion in some circles, but I've never sought to be popular. That's my gut feeling. I've said it many times, the only two things I've ever voted for were Trump in 2016. I got nothing that I wanted from that. And in the late 80s, when I lived in California, there was a ballot initiative that was designed to roll back car insurance rates by 20%. It passed. The outgoing insurance commissioner found a loophole, and I was paying twice as much insurance like 3 months after this bill passed. Democracy, I think, is a huge lie.
So, folks, if you would like to chime in with your questions and comments, one way that we welcome that is with Super Chats. And if you could do that by going to entropystream.live/countercurrents, you can take out your credit card and send us a donation along with that. That gets you noticed, put it that way. And it makes us happy because it's one of the few ways that we can actually take support by credit card. We have been pretty much deplatformed from the global credit card industry, and only Entropy Stream stood by us and will process donations for us. So give the good people at Entropy your business. And if you'd like to raise a question or a comment or just send a donation, please do so. You can also send money through Cash App, and you can send tips now through Odyssey and also tokens through DLive if you are interested. What I would like to do is ask both Jim and Thomas for their take on a particular line about Tucker Carlson that I've seen Devin Stack put out, and it was basically repeated, I'm told. I haven't listened to the clip, but basically repeated by Nick Fuentes, which is, look, Tucker Carlson is false opposition. How do we know that Tucker Carlson is false opposition? His father worked for the CIA. And Tucker Carlson apparently looked into working for the CIA, but didn't end up working for the CIA, or at least so it appears. And therefore, you know, we can't take him seriously as a figure who fundamentally opposes anything that the establishment is doing. I guess we're supposed to think, therefore, that him being fired is all just kabuki theater of some sort. There's some kind of fix in. He was never really an opponent of the system, and so on and so forth. Maybe he's a Fed. I mean, that's the bottom line. Maybe he's a Fed. Jim, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. You mean the little Mexican midget who stood outside the Capitol saying storm the Capitol and didn't get any charges is calling people federal agents? Okay. I mean, I haven't seen any confirmation Tucker Carlson's dad was CIA. I have seen intimations that Tucker applied and was rejected at the CIA. What else do you say about this? This whole Fed, everyone pointing fingers, Fed thing is poisonous. And unless you have actual evidence, who cares? What if he did work for the CIA? What does that, I mean, so if he said it was 72 degrees today and it was actually 72 degrees, would he be lying? I think the most people who make accusations of feds are probably feds because they create a poisonous atmosphere of mistrust.
Thomas, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'll also add in, so some of the other evidence used against Tucker for being a Fed is that he has several times worn a red bracelet, and they say it's associated with Kabbalah. But I'm going to say this, just because someone practices Kabbalah doesn't mean that they're a controlled opposition. It is a little suspect because it is essentially a Middle Eastern path. There are European paths. But, that, you know, that's something that Rene Guenon might do. Julius Evola probably wouldn't fully counter-signal. So I think jumping on him about that and just, like, pointing like the soy boy, he's a Fed, he wore a Kabbalah bracelet is, you know, it's a yellow flag, but it's not the red flag that they make it out to be. Two, I think you can really judge people by the company that they keep. And with Tucker, the company that he keeps is that he gave a platform to raw egg nationalists. And some people made fun of this, like, they said, like, you're not going to, you know, save the Western civilization by suntanning your private parts. That's true. However, Tucker basically acted like a gate instead of a gatekeeper. People might see that, and if they follow raw egg nationalists and the Benedict Eggs option, they'll be introduced to this part of Twitter, which naturally segues into our spheres. And two, the raw Benedict's Eggs option was published by Animal Pill Publishing, which, look at the initials, and by the books that they produce, they're definitely our guys. I have quite a few books of theirs, and I really love their books. I mean, I have, it's a lot of good stuff, not just like, you know, political stuff. They did a book about this night guy from Germany. But let's look at the company that Fuentes keeps, Senor Fuentes. Well, he's friends with Baked Alaska, who was sentenced to a mere 2 months in a very cushy jail. And that's ironic because he was very high profile. He's very loud. And this is very in contrast with another nationalist, Christian Secor. I wrote an article about Mr. Secor. And Secor was sentenced to 3.5 years by the same judge. And he had, you know, sat in the magical chair of democracy that Mike Pence usually warms his booty in. Oh, Lord, what an attack on our institutions. But, you know, he had been completely quiet from what I saw during his, you know, while he was awaiting sentencing and trial. I think he did a plea bargain, not a trial. But, you know, the numbers and sentencing speak for themselves. And we've seen there were texts leaked, not regarding Bake, but regarding other people or the FBI and the prosecution or whatever, were saying, well, he didn't cooperate, no deal for him. So it's very obvious that Christian Secor did not cooperate, but Baked Alaska sure as hell did.
Yeah, there in his agreement to share information on people that he knows. The other thing, too, is I announced on the Countercurrents a few days ago, I'm going to do an article about that, like, maybe gatekeepers can be gateways too. I think that, like, a trap that a lot of people in these circles fall into is purity spiraling to death, where it's like, maybe some people, you know, they need to, it's like marijuana is a gateway drug to heroin. Like, not everyone's going to start shooting heroin. If you can just crack the facade of the official narrative in any way, I don't care who it is, I think it's a net good. But yeah, Baked Alaska, the dumbest guy who ever lived, very suspicious that he got almost no time at all. And that Ali Alexander and the Mexican midget got no time at all. I mean, Ali Alexander's on record talking to the feds. I think he testified in January 6th. He shared some information, or at least he testified. But the whole Fed thing is just ridiculous and insane. I think there should be capital punishment if you accuse someone of being a Fed without solid, irrefutable evidence.
Well, I do think that Fuentes is more of a shady and suspicious character than Tucker Carlson, just by his behavior.
One thing, when that happened, when he said, I think he got bitter about Tucker Carlson, because I think he was back on Twitter around the election, and Tucker Carlson expressed skepticism about Sidney Powell's claims, and the tiny virgin incel who surrounds himself with alleged pedophiles was saying he's a traitor and he's not one of us in national. Yeah, I mean, I think he's bitter that Tucker wasn't supporting the narrative of absolute voter fraud. That's one thing. I never took a side on whether there was voter fraud or not. Like I said, I don't care who's president. But things have gotten so ridiculous with belief clusters that, like, if you were on the right, immediately, whatever happened, there was fraud, and if left, no, not possible, which was a mirror image of, or like a reverse image of what happened in 2016.
Right.
What I like about Tucker is he doesn't seem like an ideologue, a brainwashed party line ideologue like that tiny version weirdo guy is.
If I can just add in real quickly too, I think I'm going to write an article on this probably eventually, but in Europe, they have different parties and they have different flavors of ice cream for each version of left wing or right wing. If any of you nerds out there are people like me who play strategy games like Hearts of Iron 4, there's all these different, or Kaiser Reich, there's all these different flavors of ideology like social liberal, market liberal, national populist, authoritarian democracy. Well, it's like that. Like, Tucker is part of the coalition for sure. He's a different flavor, absolutely, but he hasn't shunned us exactly either. And so, like, this would be like if a national populist was ringing and screaming at an authoritarian Democrat while a wave of communism is attacking them. It's just stupid. Like, we can have our differences. I think if we could find a way to properly demarcate all the camps that we all belong to, there would be less conflict because everyone would be honest, like, okay, I am alt-right, I am nationalist, I am civic nationalist. And we just like, you know, public, instead of like this whole thing, it's like, well, I'm right-wing, you're not right-wing. It's let there be differences, publicly declare them, publicly wear your tabard, and we create this big coalition that can hopefully, you know, not fall apart.
It seemed to be a lot more intact, like in 2015, 2016, than it is now.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tucker recently did attack white identity politics on the Adam Carolla show. I wrote a response to that, which I think is interesting. Probably the dumbest, most crazy and paranoid theory about Tucker Carlson's firing was that Tucker Carlson was fired because my article came out, which actually was shared somewhere on one of the ass ends of the internet where paranoids cluster and cluck to one another. But yeah, I love that particular theory. I'm incredibly powerful, in other words.
There were other suggestions that he supported the great replacement theory in theory. And yeah. I mean, I think Greenblatt brought that up. I've seen elsewhere too.
Yeah.
Because he actually did a segment about that New York Times article, We Can Replace Them. Yeah. Which is about how to bring minority voters into Georgia to win the Senate races back then.
I think it was by not an Abby Grossberg, but a Michelle Goldberg.
Goldberg, yes.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't seen what Michelle Goldberg looks like, but maybe Abby Grossberg was born like to the Goldbergs, but when the doctor saw her face, he's like, Grossberg.
Absolutely. Well, the issue of gatekeepers versus gateways, I think, is very, very important. Well, I talked about this with Pox Populi recently. We also had a comment or discussion of this specifically about Jordan Peterson. And I've been getting questions about this kind of thing for years. In fact, I wrote an article years ago about Milo Yiannopoulos, who's, of course, back in the news. But that reminds me, Jim, you said that Nick surrounds himself with alleged pedophiles. Well, now we can drop the alleged, because Ali Alexander has acknowledged that he was improperly texting sexual stuff to underage men. And
just so you don't get sued out of existence by whatever 400-pound, 80-year-old white homosexual was funding Ali Alexander. Yeah. He did admit to doing some things and sending corny texts, but he said some of the screenshots were fabricated. So
that's
where my training kicks in. Alleged. All you have to do is figure out alleged. Unless it's proved in court, then you can, if it's conviction, and they could be on false pretenses, then you're allowed to say that he's a pedophile.
Right.
But I mean, the whole Milo thing, like Milo lost his career basically like in 2017, 2016.
2017.
He talked about an older man homosexually grooming him, and Breitbart dropped him, everyone dropped him. But it's such like, it's such a cabal of sexual misfits over there. Which is hilarious to me, because one of the whole things was being a Christian and screaming about faggots all the time, which is like, you know, one finger pointing out, three fingers pointing back sort of thing. It's my comic book Trucker Fags in Denial come to life. And so that's why it's like, you know, I cackle. It's hilarious because, like you've got dick on the mind a little bit too much, fella.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, right. It's odd because there's some people on Twitter saying that Fuentes has been engaging in outright victim blaming. One of these alleged victims of Ali Alexander was this guy named Smiley the Fed. And Fuentes was basically saying stuff like basically blaming the victim and just running interference for Ali. And then ironically, you know, Smiley the Fed just goes along with it. And it's like, this is ridiculous. I mean, this is just like, this is literally a cult. Yeah. And two, about the whole like morality thing, it's very odd because, you know, there's this one, my favorite guy to make fun of in the AF sphere is, what's that little fat pig's name? There's Ethan Ralph. He's a raging alcoholic. He's destroyed his body with alcohol and control and drugs so bad.
Yeah.
I'm informed and believe that based upon his terrible physical appearance. And people said they've seen him drunk on stream. Don't want to be suited for defamation here, but he's aged terribly. Like, it's funny, and it's like, this is Christian morality, this guy who has, he was apparently convicted for revenge porn, and, you know, this is old gossip, but it's good to bring up again, just to hammer home how these people who, like, wave crucifixes at people and read about traditional values are actually totally degenerate. Mm-hmm. And it's very much a fallen, I wrote an article, it was like fallen caste, and this AF is a fallen priesthood. It's a darkened version of what a priest is supposed to be.
I'll have to say it again. The reason I'm not a Christian is I've read the Bible front to back, backwards, three times, four times. I know it inside and out. And assuming that Christ was a real historical figure and assuming the four gospels kind of quoted him directly, although they contradict each other all over the place, the whole passages where he's screaming about the hypocritical Pharisees, about thumping their chests in public and, you know, let he who was without sin cast the first stone. If you're going to be a Christian, follow that. Because if you don't follow that, you're going to burn in hell according to your rules, guys. But these people are so foul-mouthed, not that I have a problem with foul mouths, but they're hypocrites. They're standing beside a shield of morality to be unethical toward people. That sort of thing drives me nuts. That's what I think guilt projection and hiding behind a good guy mask is basically the reason I write, just to unmask all these people. Yeah, and Ethan Ralph, I mean, he not only drunk on screen, there was something a couple weeks ago. I'm pretty sure he passed out, and he's rattling this bottle of Xanax. But, you know, if he just wants to be a pillhead and a drunk and flee to Mexico and have all these criminal charges, and he's a convicted sex offender for revenge porn, I don't care. What bugs me is the veneer of Christianity. And trying to get everyone else in trouble for their alleged misdeeds. If people didn't want me to feel that way, they shouldn't have put me through 12 years of Catholic school.
I hope Ethan Ralph gets his paws on Ambien and alcohol and then like go shopping. This is what people do. I don't approve of this. I never did it, but military guys would go, they'd be given Ambien, a sleeping pill for overseas. they did not use it properly. They'd mix up the alcohol and see what they would buy on Amazon, and they'd be amazed by bonus. So maybe Ethan Ralph will do it. That'll be wonderful entertainment for everybody. We see what his pill popping, drunken shopping spree is.
We'll find out what's on his Amazon wish list, right? The thing that amazed me most about all of this scandal with Fuentes and Ali Akbar Alexander and people like that is that in the end, Fuentes seems to have acknowledged that, yes, he was aware that there is this predator who was basically trading on access to Fuentes to molest, or, well, let's just put it more broadly, be a sex pest towards underage males, and that Fuentes was aware of this. But the thing that's most breathtaking about it is that Fuentes really seems to think that he's the real victim here. And I just think that's a level of moral imbecility, just staggering moral imbecility, that convicts him permanently in my mind and in the mind of anybody who's morally normal. And I just don't think that he's going to ever come back from this, because his reaction to it was so repulsive. But let's talk about the gatekeeper versus gateway thing. My argument basically about this, and I made this argument years ago about Milo, was that I was hearing people say, don't criticize Milo, he's a gateway. Don't criticize him. He's getting people close to us. And my response to that was, well, that's good. I'm glad that Milo is occupying the niche that he's occupying. I'm not going to attack him for bad faith or any kind of claims that, well, he really agrees with us, but he's too much of a chicken, right? I don't like that kind of mind reading. There are a few people that I know for sure behave that way, but I don't know this in the case of some people like Milo or Tucker Carlson, for instance. And so I'm not going to say the reason why he doesn't openly agree with me is that he's a coward. I think that that's going too far. That's mind reading. And that's something that that's one of Jim's pet peeves. And I agree with that.
Well, Greg, haven't you had your own motives imputed publicly? And you're like, that never occurred to me as a motive. And isn't
a
little galling?
It is galling.
Yeah.
It's absolutely galling. And it's the stock and trade of paranoids.
And you can't disprove it, though. That's the thing. You can't, if you say that's not my motive, they're like, you're in denial.
Yeah.
So it should just be removed from all argumentation. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
You can say, I think you're doing that because you actually say this and behave that way. That's fine.
Yeah.
But just, yeah, it's gaslighting, essentially.
Yeah. Certainly does drive me mad. It doesn't drive me mad. It just makes me mad. It makes me angry. But my argument was, okay, if you think Milo is a gatekeeper because he occupies a position that's adjacent to ours, but not 100% overlapping ours, and he's got a big audience, that's sort of the glass is half empty phenomenon. And there's something passive about it too. You're just whining, oh, it's unfair. The fix is in. He's a Fed. You know, Tucker's working for the Feds. And the difference between a gateway and a gatekeeper often depends on what we do, right? If we go out and criticize the people who we think are gatekeepers and show that, yes, Jordan Peterson has many good points, but there are certain things that he won't talk about that are actually very important. And you should listen to our critique, and then we can build on what they've learned from Jordan Peterson and bring them closer to us. That's how the gatekeeper turns into a gateway. It's up to us to turn gatekeepers into gateways. And to just whine about them and say, oh, the fix is in. In a way, it sort of hardens them into being a gatekeeper because you're not trying to actually engage with their audience. And if you want to engage with their audience, the best way to engage with their audience is not to say, your idol is a cuck and has feet of clay and is a CIA plant. He's a Fed, you know, because that just sounds like crazy talk. to most people. The way to engage with the Jordan Peterson fan or the fervent Tucker Carlson fan is to criticize their premises, to show that there's certain facts that they're overlooking or there's certain premises that they have that are false, and that if you replace these blind spots, if you change these premises, these people will come over to us. That's how we do this. This is how it works. So if you think that somebody really is doing us good, then precisely by criticizing them in a civil way, not a paranoid carping way, but a civil way, is how you bring them over to us. And not criticizing them basically just, you know, opts out of the game. We're just sort of surrendering and not trying to close the deal and bring people over to our way of thinking. And I think that's a very, very foolish attitude.
I just want to add in that it's like playing volleyball. It's like someone has to do the setting. I forget the other Moose term, but then eventually someone does spike it. And we're the star player who spikes the ball. But we can't, it's, you know, some people always say, like, let's just cut the Gordian knot and demand that Tucker go full release of Kraken on election fraud or go full 1488. But, you know, he has done a lot of good for us. And maybe, you know, if he did that, he'd be kicked off Fox. Maybe not for the election fraud stuff. But, you know, it's a nice set and we can do the spike. And two, I would also say that part of the thing here is that he's a rogue elite. And the problem with rogue elites is that they're going to come to us imperfect. Just like a lot of people come to us imperfectly who are not rogue elites. For example, you know, there were fat people I've heard who joined Patriot Front. Well, guess what? They get whipped into shape. So by the time they take to the streets, they're a fitness model. And that's, you know, we can apply to that same stuff to the elites. They're going to come to us imperfectly. And maybe we just have to deal with them how they are. Maybe they weren't, their red pilling was a process too. We don't know what's going on their head. We can infer, I think we can infer people's motives a little bit more than you guys say you can, because we can examine conduct, but it's always objective, not this subjective nonsense people go with. But he's a rogue elite and people complain about him being involved with CIA. Look, he's a blue-blooded Anglo. He's a president. That's what they do. They've staffed the CIA for decades. This is what you did. This is simply what rogue elites do. So instead of like complaining about this, we should be like, yeah, we got someone who was basically, we've been blessed with Tucker instead of the CIA. We should be happy. And it's like, too, would you like a rogue FBI agent to join us? Maybe like not join an organization, of course, but maybe there's been a lot of whistleblowers. What if they get red pilled? I wouldn't let them get too close to me, but I'd be like, hey, you go off. You tell the truth. And two, we're steering away other rogue elites who might want to, you know, reach out a hand if this is how they're treated.
Another thing to keep in mind is, okay, you have ideology, human psychology. I know I bring this story up a lot, but it was proto-Antifa behavior in Portland 20 years ago. These anti-racist skinheads stalked me and attacked me 3 times. I fought back the first time. Then I realized I was on parole and did well fighting back the first time, but... And I said, I'll box you in a ring, but I want to talk about this stuff. But I wrote in an article for Vice Magazine back then, these sharp skinheads against racial prejudice guys seem to think you can beat somebody into being racially tolerant. After they attacked me 3 times, it's like, fuck you. Like, I'll be more racist. So if you're going to come at Tucker Carlson and say, hey, blue-blooded Fed CIA, he might think, fuck these guys. If you say, hey, I think you're right about this, but I think, you know, it's all how you come at them. The natural reaction, if you're just barking at somebody anonymously online and say, fuck whatever this guy thinks, I'm going to go in the other direction. But I think a lot of these guys are 16, play video games, and aren't experienced in life or human psychology, so they take that. But I think they turn more people off than they convert. I think that's for sure.
Yeah, I do think that that is true. People have pride. That's just a fact. And if you offend people's pride, they are going to be less receptive to you. And this is especially the case when you've got people who have connections, who've got social capital. Tucker Carlson has enormous social capital. And it's not just where the family he comes from and the fact that he came from money. It's also social capital that he built. He's done a tremendous amount of really important work over the years. And people like that have a certain amount of pride. And when scruffy, mostly anonymous internet characters just sort of go nuts about him, I don't think he's going to take these people seriously for 1 minute. I'm not a famous person. I'm not even an infamous person. I'm just sort of known in a little corner of the internet. But even somebody as insignificant on a global scale as I am have insane, crazed, paranoid stalker types. And because they're so few and far between, they're actually kind of amusing. I don't completely tune them out. Jim, you see some of the comments that are posted by this one crazed German that never see the light of day. But yeah, I find this kind of amusing. But if I were as famous as somebody like Tucker Carlson, do you think for a minute that he pays any attention to the sort of frothing internet critics that are out there? He literally wouldn't have enough time in the day to do that. And beyond that, people who are really famous have really thick skins. A lot of the stuff just doesn't matter to them. But if you were to actually get through to him with this kind of churlish, paranoid discourse, his attitude would be, you know, as he said about why did identity politics, fuck off. He's going to tell us to fuck off. In that case, he really should tell these people to fuck off. Because, well, who are they? Usually they don't have any names and faces. They don't have any accountability. And he's a very important person. So, of course, he's just going to think that. But I do think Thomas is raising a very important point. We are a populist movement, populist in the sense that we come from the people and that we represent the interests of the people. We want to be connected to the interests of the people. We want to make politics more responsive to the people. Populist movements win, though, not by storming the castle with pitchforks and things like that. They win by converting people in the elites. They win by having people with far more social capital come over to their side. Rogue elites are something that populist movements desperately need to court. And to basically rebuff such people in advance out of just sort of seething paranoia is ignorant of just how, historically speaking, populist movements win. They win by courting and converting members of the elites. And so when a few of these people come over, that is often the thing that brings us to the tipping point. So we do have to think very, very carefully about this. I do think, however, that we can't fall into the mistake of the neo-reactionary people who just disdain populism entirely. And basically, they just sort of dream of converting a few people, you know, converting Elon Musk or something like that. I don't think that's the way forward. Rogue elites go rogue when they feel that the winds are changing. And they feel like their values align with popular change. And I do think that Elon Musk is an example of a rogue elite member. He's just not rogue enough for our tastes. What are your thoughts,
Thomas?
I think going forward, it's going to be that we can kind of get rogue elites by offering them carrots while the enemy gives them sticks. Because right now, you know, they always talk about, you know, generational wealth. That means taking money from white people so it's not passed down to the generations. You know, even there's a lot of like people who rogue elites who are simply market conservatives couldn't care less about the culture war, but their wealth will be targeted in the culture war for cultural reasons and racial reasons. And so they might, you know, disavow white identity politics or may not really like it, but they're going to have to play ball with us because they need the numbers to have any type of hope of protecting their wealth or breaking away if we have to and having secession. And so they're going to have to make their peace with us. Like, one of my favorite talking points now is that, like, yes, we radicals have to make our peace with the establishment. Maybe the opposite is true. The establishment has to make their peace with the radicals. My establishment, I don't mean the regime, of course. I mean, like, rogue elites, like, kind of blue-blooded people like Tucker Carlson, Charlie Kirk, even the Turning Point USA has made some very feisty remarks after, you know, counter-signaling us. So it's true. It's like, you know, we're going, if we give them some carrots and the system keeps coming after them with sticks, they might be forced to simply say, like, they need the raw manpower and we need them too. So maybe we can make a deal, or at least try not to destroy each other while we're fighting the communists.
Right. If you're just going to convert people by insulting and bullying them, you're going to have a real pathetic army at your back there, because they're just people who are weak. And again, back to basic human psychology, saying, well, hey, good point there, but I think you might be missing it. Like, I think everyone's much more willing to listen to somebody who comes at it that way. I mean, do the purity spiraling privately or you know, in a video, in Minecraft or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's really insulted someone into changing their mind. Generally, they go the other direction because, wow, that's an unpleasant person. They must have incorrect or unpleasant ideas.
Right now, there's like, you know, people always say, oh, we can't become like the left. That's horrible. But like, we actually shouldn't, because their purity spiraling is a huge turnoff. Anyone who's like remotely intellectual isn't going to like cancel culture. They're not going to like how the left shuts them down. They're not going to like if we do the same thing. So I think it's better to have debate. Not, you know, we don't want to be stuck debating all day and not accomplishing anything. But if we're the only ones where there is free debate allowed, that includes allowing people who are adjacent to us to have their say, as long as they're acting in good faith and not bad faith. We have to do it. Like, at some point, we'll have a monopoly on intellectual discourse in this country. We already do, basically. We're the only ones you can actually sit down with and have a talk and not have like any weird parameters you can't cross or any no-nos you can't say. So at that point, like, I think they will respect us more if we engage with them bravely but firmly and openly, instead of trying to, you know, basically re-at them like they're triggered purple hair thought on campus.